Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Meliotis here with Jack Heinrich riding shotgun with me. We just came from Wrigley Field as the Blackhawks prepare for the Winter Classic tomorrow against the St. Louis Blues. The Blackhawks had a practice at 3:30 today at Wrigley, and man, what a spectacle that was! Just the scenes leading up to the Winter Classic, and I can only imagine what tomorrow is going to be like. Hopefully, if the weather is similar to what it was today, we're going to get to it in a little bit about potential weather concerns. But the Blackhawks are coming off a four-game losing streak, and so it feels like this losing streak is kind of coming or the Winter Classic is coming at a good time for the Blackhawks. And so I'm wondering if, obviously the Blackhawks had won three in a row at home, and then they had that road trip with Calgary and Minnesota and Buffalo, and then they have obviously lost yesterday against the Dallas Stars. And so you're hoping that this Winter Classic could help break the schedule up and break the mood up. Nick Foligno was talking about it earlier today that maybe this could be a little bit of a launching point for Chicago if they can find a way to win this hockey game. But Jack, I want to bring you in here. I know we just came from Wrigley Field, and we walked from the parking lot in. We were trying to make our way around, and just walking into the stadium of Wrigley, I was almost like taken back by just the scenes. Like the sun was perfect. We looked at where we were going to be sitting for the game tomorrow. We were ice level for practice. I mean, it was an amazing time at Wrigley today. Just being a practice.
Yeah, it was really cool walking in. I mean, you could kind of feel, even though there wasn't like a crowd, at least to me, I could kind of feel like a buzz around it. Just like you could tell, like, it's a big event. I mean, and growing up, just like going to Cubs games and stuff, that was really cool. Just kind of like walking around. The Hawks were in the Cubs locker room, so we were in there, and then the media room. And then, yeah, the spot's really cool. Being down on the ice is really cool. So it was a really cool, like, just all-around access kind of thing.
The one thing we did realize is that in the 2009 Winter Classic between the Blackhawks and Red Wings at Wrigley Field, there were no big jumbotrons in left field and right field. And so that's going to be a new little layer that if you do have some sort of a view that it's hard to see, like there will be a big screen that is showing the action, which is going to be great for the environment as well. You know, I was sitting glass side at practice, both of us were, and I was looking closely at the ice just to see how the ice was going to look. They're doing a media skate, I think, right now, and so I'll be able to ask some of the other beat writers too what they thought of it. But it didn't. There were some cracks in the ice that I was like, oh my gosh, is this in the ice or is it the tarp underneath it? I think it was the tarp underneath it, because all the guys that came from that we talked to at practice today was like, oh, the ice was in phenomenal condition, and given how everything had, the week leading up to it, it rained all day yesterday, and so I had heard that they weren't able to work on the ice at all yesterday, which is crazy. And so I thought, maybe, are they going to push practice to indoors so they need, all day to get the ice perfect for tomorrow? But the fact that a lot of the players that had skated at practice today were very complimentary of the ice conditions, I think, is encouraging. Taylor Hall, I thought, had a noteworthy soundbite. Let's play it right now.
It's awesome. The ice was amazing for how much rain we've had in Chicago. I was really impressed. And it's interestingly, just the lighting changed as practice went on, even in the 30, 35 minutes that we were out there. And the lighting's going to be better the darker it gets, and the more spotlight is on the ice surface. But I was really impressed with how it felt.
One thing I'm looking forward to, and Taylor Hall alluded to it just there about how the lighting changed from the start of practice to the end of practice, is because it's going to be a 4 o'clock, 4:25 puck drop, you're going to get this perfect scenario of the the visual is going to be awesome at the start of the game. And then even just when we were leaving Wrigley Field today to come here to do this show, it looked incredible in a night setting. And so in the last time the Blackhawks played at Wrigley Field, it was an early afternoon game. And so it was
light. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it was light throughout the entire game. And so under the lights was a very cool looking, especially if you're in the building. I'm not sure how it's going to come across on TV, but in the building or in the stadium, it was amazing.
Yeah, and you said, like, I mean, it's pretty much puck's going to drop, and then maybe we have 10, 15 minutes of sunlight, and then it's going to be dark. So they'll have the full lights in effect, and it is cool, like, Wrigley at night and something cool like that. So that'll be fun to see. And then I like what you said about the video boards, too. Like, you'll be able to see it a lot better than the last time, so... hopefully it seems like it's pretty set up, and even with the weather, I mean, it is supposed to, I think, rain tomorrow morning, so hopefully they can get everything on time, but and the ice all set. But the players seemed to really like it when we were in the locker room. They really thought it was cool to be on the field and then in the Cubs locker room too. So it was kind of like a cool, I don't know how long, with like three and a half hours we were there. It was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, just seeing all the people, I actually think somebody did skate on the ice last night. I saw some videos being tweeted, and I was like, wow, the ice looks like it's in great condition.
Some content creators or something
like
that. Yeah.
Yes, there definitely were. You mentioned the weather. So it rained all day yesterday. Today was great. They were able to skate. You know, I feel like the last couple of days I've been staring at the radar just to see what the rain is going to do, what percentage of the rain is going to come during play. And by all accounts, the way it looks like right now is, well, first off, let me preface this by saying the rain would be the worst case scenario for tomorrow. If it's snow, I think like that is no big deal. We saw that in 2014 in the Stadium Series game between Chicago and Pittsburgh. That was the only game the Blackhawks have won outdoors to this date. So hopefully the Hawks can snap that. And then we saw the first game against, it was Pittsburgh and Buffalo, where Crosby had that famous shootout winner. I mean, he was literally stick handling through piles of snow. And so on some level, battling the elements is kind of a fun part about it. And so it would be cool to see some snow tomorrow. But if it's rain, that's going to be tough, and I think they would probably push puck drop a little bit later. But as of right now, you know, just looking at the forecast, I think the last time I checked, I was trying to do this in real time, and the app is not cooperating.
I got it.
You have it?
Yeah, WGN, our TV friends on the radio, are on the TV side with the weather. It says during the day, occasional rain, some snow showers mixing in the afternoon, high of 41. 80% chance of rain, and then the evening it's cloudy, low of 27, and just windy. So hopefully if it does rain, it's earlier, and then they could make the necessary adjustments. But it looks better than it did, I don't know, maybe Friday. Yes. When we came back from the break, we were pretty worried how that was looking.
It was like 85% chance of rain. Like
all day.
Yeah, like all day, like last week. And we were like, oh boy, I'm getting ready for the contingencies. I'm looking at the weather, so... It looks like it's going to go up until 2 p.m. the rain, and then about 30% at 3 and 4 o'clock, and then after that, starting at 5, it drops to 19%, and then it goes to 6% the rest of the night. And so they're going to get the game in tomorrow. It's just a matter of if they're going to delay it like a few minutes, half hour, I'm not sure, or... You know, as of right now, it feels like it could be on track the way that this radar is looking. So that would be encouraging, because I feel like that would be kind of the worst case scenarios. It would be nice to have that early part of the game where it is kind of, there's still light out, and so then it transitions into the nighttime. I think that's going to be a cool experience of the guys playing under the lights. Jack, what did you think of the temperature while we were there? Because we were sitting outside for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours at practice. My toes started to get cold.
And mine did too.
Yeah, and it so it's definitely colder than you think when you're down there.
And there'll be no sun.
And there will be no sun. And The wind, I think, is going to be between like 15 and 20 miles per hour. And so that's going to be an interesting situation. And so it is going to be cold down there. The good news is it's not going to be like below zero, you know, like it's going to be like low 40s to high 30s or mid 30s.
Yeah.
And maybe it might drop below that in the nighttime, but I think the weather is going to be perfect as far as temperature wise, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to be cold. Cause I was pretty cold.
Yeah. Bundle up. Yeah. We weren't in our full gear. We're going to be outside in the elements tomorrow. So yeah, I'm going to probably double sock it.
Yeah. We were
maybe some hand warmers.
Yeah. Like some hand warmers, double sock. You know, I don't even know. I was planning on wearing a suit tomorrow, but I don't even know if it makes any sense because it's going to be a jacket over it. So I don't, maybe a nice little collared shirt with a sweater over it to get some. So yeah, it'll be cool to see what the how the Blackhawks decide to come out too. So yeah, I'm excited. The one thing I will acknowledge about outdoor games, and I think the casual fan, the casual NHL fan, is like, this is the 42nd outdoor game in the NHL's history. Feels like it's getting watered down because there are a couple of them each year. But just being there and seeing the buildup to this event in Chicago, it's a really, really cool event for the city that is hosting the Winter Classic or the outdoor game. Like, you feel the energy, you feel the vibe in the city. And just being there at practice, I mean, a bunch of families were there. I mean, you know, Canadian TV is there, TNT is there, like the Spin Chicklets crew is there, you know, like they're
everybody.
Everybody's there, and it's like it makes it feel like this monumental event. And so it's very cool in the moment. I understand, you know, people from afar are like, oh, and like
you're just watching on TV, yeah.
Yeah, or it's just like, oh, you know, another outdoor game, Blackhawks and Blues, you know, they're not the biggest draws right now, just given where they are in the standings. But if you're going to be at the game tomorrow, you're going to leave that day feeling, wow, what an amazing experience. And it's going to be something that you can pass down to, you know, tell your kids about and all that stuff. And so there is still this aura around outdoor games, specifically in the city that is hosting it, because we've felt that energy, especially the last few days leading up to this event.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you could kind of feel it even with no fans, just kind of walking up to Wrigley. I mean, like, you're not really going to Wrigley this time of year normally.
Right.
So it was cool to go in there, and they've done a good job setting everything up, and there's a bunch of different entertainment stuff in Gallagher Way in the stadium. So there's a lot to do, and then, you know, Wrigleyville, a lot of people like to go out in, so with all the bars. So I'm sure it'll be hopping, especially after the game, getting close to New Year's. So even if you're just not even going to the game, just in Wrigleyville, it should be a fun time.
I was just going to say, I mean, especially if the Hawks win that game, I feel like Wrigleyville is going to be hopping it with a potential Blackhawks win in a Winter Classic. They're 0-3 or 0-4 in Winter Classic, so they haven't even won a game in a Winter Classic specifically. And yeah, and then it being New Year's Eve, I feel like Wrigleyville is going to have a great time if the Blackhawks win tomorrow. How about Alex Vlasic? He's the hometown guy. He got some podium treatment today, sitting up there with Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno, because he is a Wilmette native, grew up a big Chicago Cubs fan. And so this was probably it's going to be an amazing experience for him. You know, just today at practice, you know, he had his brother out there and his family. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing time for them. But here's what he had to say earlier today, just about taking it in as a Chicago area kid playing in his first Winter Classic.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. I feel like you don't really realize what it's like until you get out of that dugout and you start, you know, walking towards the ice and just taking those first couple strides. It was really special today. And then, yeah, good practice, and to have the family out there, have my brother skiing beside me and Wrigley, it was just such a cool moment and something I'll never forget.
That's got to be kind of surreal, like you mentioned, to think that, you know, you grew up a Cubs fan, you grew up in Chicago, he grew up a diehard Blackhawks fan, and now you're the guy that's playing in these big games, and he's not just some fourth liner that's, you know, getting like a, you know, just like some role player. Like, he is a potential cornerstone piece on the back end for Chicago. And for him to be able to participate in a game like this in front of his family and friends, knowing that in 2009, I don't even know how old he was back then. It was 16 years ago. So he had to be like 7, 8 years old. I don't know. So it's got to be a unique experience for Alex Vlasic, the hometown kid, playing at Wrigley Field as a Blackhawks fan, but also as a Cubs fan and a Chicago area kid, knowing the magnitude of that stadium and the history that goes along with it.
Yeah, historic stadium. I liked what he said later in the press conference. They were talking about like how his sister is a big Cubs fan.
Yeah.
And then he said he got Chris Bryant a bat from Chris Bryant somehow and gave it to her. Nick Foligno accused him of stealing it, but he said he gave it to her. But that was a funny moment. But I mean, that is cool how his sister's kind of like almost as more excited than he is that he's going to be on Wrigley Field playing. So it's a cool family thing.
For sure. And by the way, there were some Cubs that made appearances today too. I know Pete Crow Armstrong was there.
Yeah. Michael Bush was there.
Michael Bush was there.
So Michael Bush is from Minnesota, so maybe a little hockey background there as well. And then, yeah, I saw Pete Crow Armstrong was taking some pictures with the guys in the locker room. So, that I mean, that's fun, just seeing those guys come out there. I mean, and I saw Clark the Cub. He was there with Tommy Cox. So, the whole crew was there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a fun day, just at practice. I know Connor Bedard was saying in his media scrum after practice, basically saying this is one of the coolest experiences of my entire life. And he was like, we haven't even played the game yet. And so, again, you just kind of feel that magnitude. The St. Louis Blues are practicing, or they practiced at Wrigley Field right after Chicago, so they were able to experience the nightcap of the practice, just being under the lights. And so it should be. It's the matchup is between two struggling ish teams right now. St. Louis got off to a really good start after their coaching change when they hired Jim Montgomery, but since then they've been trying to find their way again. And then obviously Chicago, they're coming off a 4-game losing streak, and over that stretch the Blackhawks have been outscored 21-10. And so defensively, it's been a struggle. The goaltending has cooled off a little bit. The offense, 10 goals in 4 games, not terrible, but I think that the Hawks are looking for more. And so I think a game like the Winter Classic to help break up the mood, and you just get this excitement, the vibe around the city, the vibe around the team, I think helps specifically for the Blackhawks, although I think they would have preferred it the other way, where they're going into the Winter Classic on a winning streak. And unfortunately, that's not the case. But though there's always a, they can end their losing streak of outdoor games if they want, at Wrigley Field against the St. Louis Blues. And so, by the way, Peter Mrazek, forgot to get to some lineup notes. Peter Mrazek is going to start in net for Chicago tomorrow, which I think we expected after Arvid Soderblom got the last game against Dallas. And then Connor Murphy, he was on the ice today for the team picture, and then he ended up leaving. He skated off. He came back on for the family skate, but he Anders Sorensen said after practice that he took a maintenance day, and so it sounds like he's going to be good to go for tomorrow. And then Craig Smith, he skated in line rushes on the fourth line with Lucas Reichel and Pat Maroon, so it looks like he's going to draw back into the lineup after missing a few games with the back injury. And Philip Kurashev is likely going to draw out with Joey Anderson, and we'll see how the defense pairings shake out after the last game where they tried Brody with Jones. And I didn't want to read too much into the pairings today because it seems like they were shuffled up. All right, we got much more to get to on Blackhawks Live. Stick with us right here on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich, previewing the Winter Classic at Wrigley Field tomorrow on New Year's Eve afternoon-ish at 4 o'clock between the Chicago Blackhawks and St. Louis Blues. If you want to come to Murphy's Bleachers before the game, if you're looking for something to do, Kevin Powell and I are going to be at Murphy's from 1 to 3:30 doing a sports show. It all leads to an evening of outdoor hockey played at Wrigley Field. We're going to take you right up to the pregame show at 3:30. So it's basically going to be a really fun event at Murphy's where we're just talking about the Blackhawks, and hopefully we'll have some guests swing by and talk about some fun stuff leading up to the Winter Classic puck drop. The sports show broadcast is presented by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. And it's also sponsored by El Bandito Yankee Tequila. Break out the Bandito. Hopefully Troy Murray will be saying that a lot tomorrow, because that means the Blackhawks will be scoring a lot of goals. Do a little day drinking or night drinking, whatever it's going to be at the time.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. We've been doing a little bit of both lately. I know the Hawks have had some afternoon games lately, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Kevin Powell and I, Murphy's Bleachers tomorrow from 1 to 3:30. Swing by, come say hello, have a beverage, get ready for the game. Even if you're going or not going to the game, I think it would be fun. All right, let's get to our Hawks click poll that we put out on social media earlier today in honor of the Winter Classic. We're going to break down the 7 jerseys that the Blackhawks have had. Which one is your favorite that the Blackhawks have worn? So it's the 2009 versus Detroit at Wrigley Field, 2014 versus Pittsburgh, that was the stadium series at Soldier Field, the 2015 versus Washington, the Washington Capitals at Nationals Park, 2016 versus Minnesota at TCF Bank Stadium, 2017 versus St. Louis at Busch Stadium, got 2019 versus Boston at Notre Dame Stadium, which that was the last outdoor game for the Blackhawks, and now you got 2025 versus St. Louis at Wrigley Field. And I was going to only do the first 6. But I decided to throw in the seventh one as well, because I think it's an awesome looking jersey. The final results, actually, should we share our opinion before we all right, I'll go first. I think for me that the 2009, the first outdoor game for the Blackhawks against Detroit, Wrigley Field, that's my favorite, just because I don't know if it was because it was the first one, and so the Hawks, I just love the retro-looking jersey. The combination was awesome. They ended up using that as their alternate jersey, I think, for a couple years after that as well. And so I think that was just real sharp. And so that's my vote, the 2009 versus Detroit at Wrigley.
That's what I voted for, too. I actually got a Taves one of that when I was a young kid. So that was like when I first really started following hockey, so that's kind of why I liked it. But the ones this year, we saw them on the ice up close. Those were really cool in person, or really sharp looking.
Absolutely, and that's where I was going to go next, because I think that's number 2 on my list. And I think over time that might surpass it for number 1, just because the 2009 one, I feel like, had so much aura, and I view it from a different lens, because I remember getting a jersey that Christmas as a fan, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is an amazing jersey. But I think we might look back years from now and be like, wow, that 2015 one, or the 2025 one against St. Louis at Wrigley, was so sharp. And this is the first jersey the Blackhawks have had in an outdoor game with a red primarily as the color, because typically the last few were black or white. So this is the first one that's red, and they absolutely got it right.
Yeah, they pop too on the ice. So
yes,
yeah, good, and I like that one. Yeah, that's a good point too. They're all kind of dark color. This one's got the red, the what you associate the home red sweaters with. So good look.
Yeah, and I will say this too, St. Louis's Winter Classic jerseys this year, not great.
Yeah.
Not great. So they're definitely going to make Chicago's look much better on TV, too.
I think I saw somebody, I don't know if it was on Twitter or something, was like, this might be the biggest contrast between the jerseys.
it's honestly hard to disagree when you look at it. If you have not seen St. Louis's jersey, Chicago knocked it out
like
of the park.
Is it like a dark cream or something?
Yeah. Actually, now that I'm saying that, I've actually forgotten about it, but I remember the, hang on, I'm going to type this in real time. I just remember what, it's white, like a cream type color, and then it's got like a blue stripe in the middle, and it just says St. Louis with like two yellow stripes, two smaller yellow stripes above the big blue stripe. And so it just, yeah, the Blackhawks ones were, they knocked it out of the park with that one. It, is there a consolation one that you have outside of this 2025? I think the 2019 versus Boston at Notre Dame, that was the, that was when they had the all black sweaters. I think those are pretty sharp. They used those as their alternates for a couple years after that. I didn't hate those.
Yeah, I like the white ones with like the black on the shoulder pads and like the old logo on the shoulder pads as well. I forgot what year that was. Maybe it was Washington.
Yeah, I think that was the Washington game.
Yeah, I think that's the second one I liked a lot. Just like it's like a retro kind of look, so that's why I liked it.
Yeah, man, it's really hard to mess up the Blackhawks jerseys given their how iconic their logo is. Yeah, I'm looking this up. That it's the Washington. I always get them confused with the I think it was with the Blues ones that was in 2017, or the Blackhawks and the Blues ones. They looked very similar.
Mm-hmm.
All right, time to reveal the results, what the fans voted for. It was 48% was the overwhelming vote. 2009, the Wrigley Field against Detroit, that was the favorite for the fans. And then we have a tie for second between this year's jersey with the Blackhawks against St. Louis, and then 2019 versus Boston at Notre Dame Stadium. That was tied for 16%. The one that came in third was 2014 versus Pittsburgh at Soldier Field. That was when they went all black retro, and they had that the logo looked like holographic in some way. Like
Yeah.
It wasn't like a stitching. It was like
screened on. Kinda.
Yes.
And shiny. So,
yeah. And Hawks won when they wore those jerseys.
Yeah, they did.
It's the only jersey the Blackhawks were able to lean on. And then we got number 7% was 2015 versus Washington, 3% 2016 versus Minnesota, 0% for 2017 versus St. Louis. I think the 2015 and 2017 were fairly similar. And so no surprise that, that the 2009 versus Detroit one came in first, and then it was a two-way tie. That's redundant. It's a tie for second, 2019 and 2025. So we'll see if this red jersey brings the Blackhawks some good luck against the St. Louis Blues. When I was mentioning the line combinations in the first segment, I forgot to mention that I had mentioned Craig Smith is going to be back in the lineup, and he's going to likely go in Philip Kurashev's spot. So Kurashev is going to be a healthy scratch. I forgot to mention that Frank Nazar and Jason Dickinson seemed to have switched spots at the center position. So it looks like Nazar is centering the third line with Teravainen and Mikheyev, and Dickinson is centering the second line with Foligno and Donato. And so just a little subtle tweak to the lineup, I think I don't mind that. I'm less concerned about where the lines are, like the second and third line, and more I like that Nazar will be playing with Teravainen and Mikheyev, two guys that Mikheyev is legitimately one of the fastest guys in the NHL. When he can get at his top speed, it's right up there with anyone in the NHL. And then Teravainen, he likes to play a speed type game as well. He's high hockey IQ, and he's got that skill set that he likes to play with guys like Frank Nazar. So I think that's going to suit Frank Nazar's game versus playing with Foligno and Donato, where it's kind of more of a let's slow it down, dump the puck in, play a grindy type game. And so I think Jason Dickinson moving into that role, I think it'll benefit both players, both Nazar and Dickinson, just the line mates that they're playing with, not necessarily the order of the lines, because I feel like the ice time will always dictate how that will shake out. All right, let's get to another break here, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks Live after this, but wait till you hear. We're going to dive into the Jonathan Toews interview from the GQ magazine. Very insightful on his peeling back the layer on his healing journey after going to India for 5 weeks. And he was raw, he was honest, and if you haven't read it yet, for sure add it to your list to go read, bookmark it to read at some point in the next couple of days, because it was very fascinating. But we'll share some of our thoughts from it on the other side of the break. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich providing a Winter Classic preview leading up to Blackhawks Blues tomorrow on New Year's Eve. Should be a really fun day tomorrow. Hopefully the weather holds up, because that will be a really memorable day for the city of Chicago and Blackhawks fans in general. I want to get to a former Blackhawk captain, the former Blackhawks captain, Jonathan Toews. And just, we know what he's been dealing with physically, having missed a couple seasons, one, the 2020-21 season with an illness, and it was chronic immune response syndrome is what the diagnosis was. And obviously when his last year with the Blackhawks ended up playing out the way it did, he said he was going to take some time away from the game of hockey to help just identify what exactly had been ailing him over the years. And he ended up doing a really deep interview with GQ, and I love the way the interview was conducted too, because it was like a Q&A type interview, and it was just sharing the entire transcript of the interview versus, you know, just kind of it being a little bit of a story and weaving it in and out. And so you were able to hear or see Jonathan, the way he just his deep, he's a real deep thinker. And so just laying out the entire process of how he got to a point where he was going to India for 5 weeks and figuring out this this healing journey. He had referenced how he was dealing with some digestive issues in 2009, which was his second year in the NHL. And I think that had been more public, because then he went on this kind of this health journey where he became really serious about his diet, and that played an instrumental role in the throughout the rest of his career. But then he got to a point where physically he started to feel off, and that's when he started to miss time in the NHL. And so he was trying to figure out what exactly was going on in his body that was allowing him to kind of feel like his body was giving up on him. And what I got out of that interview, and I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, but by the end of the interview, I thought, man, it feels like Toews has been trying to find the synergy between the mental and the physical aspect of things. Like at one point, he was talking about whether how his body was affecting the inner part of himself, or was it the inner part of himself that is affecting the outer part? And he thought for a long time it was this way, and then now he thinks it's the other way. But he was talking a lot about how about gratitude and just being in a good mental state of gratitude. And so I wonder how much of him trying to find this synergy between the medical and physical aspect of things. And so it's a fascinating interview. But I think more notably at the very end of the interview, it's Jonathan Toews being asked about a potential return to the NHL and whether he's leaving that door open. And here's what he had to say. He said, quote, "I think going to your hockey question again, I haven't spoken about this to a lot of people, but it's definitely still in there. I've talked to a lot of the guys that are done, and a lot of them will say that desire to be on the ice competing and to be in the locker room with the guys never goes away. It's just something that you have to accept when your time comes. So there's that. But at the same time, I think there's a big part of me that really wants to give it my all to get back on the ice and see where it takes me. There's a part of me that really doesn't feel like my career is over yet, and who knows what this next part of the journey looks like as far as getting back on the ice and trying to make a return to the NHL. There's never any guarantees in life, but I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to enjoy every step of the way. As hard as it's been at times, I look back now and I'm pretty thankful for it all, so we'll see what happens." So I'll say this. I admire his desire to want to potentially make an NHL comeback now that he feels like he's in a much better state physically and mentally. it still feels like it would be a long shot, and it would be one of those things where it would a team taking a chance on Jonathan Toews, more on kind of like a bonus driven contract, just because of the uncertainty over the last couple of years of him not playing actual hockey. But the fact that he still kind of has that desire to want to play, and it was just his body or mentally, whatever it's been, maybe a combination of both, that has been impacting his ability to do that at the highest level. It's nice to see him in a good space, but I'm just not sure. I would be surprised if we saw Jonathan Toews in the NHL again. Where do you see that, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed, how long has he been out now? Is this the second year he's missed? So it would be hard. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past him, but I feel like ramping back up, and then, like you said, who's interested? I think the Blackhawks have kind of moved on from him, like they did with Patrick Kane. So who's interested? What role is he willing to take? So I think there's a lot of variables, but it doesn't seem likely when you've been this far removed from the game, and especially with like the health issues, how feasible that could be and whatever he was going through. But if he wants to, I think it'd be a cool story to see him come back after being out of the NHL for a couple of years, and then maybe he has 1 or 2 years left in the tank and see what he can do. Because, I mean, we know what he can do in Chicago. It's pretty awesome.
Right. It would be different probably for Toews or for anyone in his position if they hadn't won a Stanley Cup, and it was one of those things where you're like, my body betrayed me. Now I want to make this NHL comeback to try to get one last crack at winning a Stanley Cup. But he's a Hall of Famer already. Like, his career,
oh, yeah,
if it ended, like if he doesn't play another game in the National Hockey League, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer with the three Stanley Cups, the Selke Trophy. He's got a Conn Smythe, just being one of the youngest captains in NHL history and being able to lift a franchise from 49-year championship drought to three Stanley Cups in a span of 6 years. And also his production in international tournaments, like winning World Juniors a gold, winning at the Olympics a gold. You know, he's got so many accolades. And so I feel like it would be different if it was just some guy that, you know, maybe has been an elite NHL player, but the last missing piece was a Stanley Cup and he didn't get it. But for Toews, like, to still see that desire to want to play, even though he has all those accolades, I think is a testament to how much he loves the game and how much he would love to get back. Even if physically he's not able to make it work, I just think you still see that burning desire in him to want to if that opportunity presented itself again.
And sometimes it's when you have like all-time greats, they just want to prove to themselves they still can like get back out there and play. Yeah. So that might even be his big motivation. He's like, I've already done all this stuff, but if I still feel like I can play, I want to play. So it'll be interesting to see. And then maybe if that doesn't work out, maybe he explores coaching if he wants to get back into it or something like that. But it has been interesting to follow. He's been pretty off the grid, and then these last few months he's starting to post some stuff and we're getting an insight of what he's been doing, and he's been very open with it. Especially, I haven't read this article, but I saw the quote about him coming back, but it seemed like he was pretty open and honest, which is cool to see from an athlete.
Yeah, and he laid out a lot of, I mean, it was a very detailed interview, and he was just laying out a lot of he was talking about, like, part of my ego didn't want to do this because, you know, I thought, oh, this is crazy. And then he actually did it. And he was like, wow, I was very judgmental about this beforehand. And now I'm the guy that's kind of vouching for it, for other people to potentially try. And so highly recommend going to read the interview if you haven't already. It's really fascinating and something I guess we'll have to track in the coming, I would be surprised if it would be in the coming months that he signs with an NHL team. He would have to do it before the trade deadline if he wants to be eligible for the playoffs. But, you know, maybe something more to watch in the summer if he decides to give it a go, because it doesn't sound like he's been skating on the ice very much. And so, but yeah, good to see Jonathan Toews back in a good headspace and feeling physically great. All right, that's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. We got Blackhawks versus Blues in the Winter Classic tomorrow. Again, come to Murphy's Bleachers tomorrow from 1 to 3:30. Kevin Powell and I are going to be there doing a little sports show that leads up into the pregame show at 3:30. Puck drop, as of right now, signs like it's going to be around 4:25, and so should be a fun time. Thanks for hanging out with us. Next show is on Monday at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Wrigley Field.